Okay, today's mitzvah is Shin Tzadi Tes, 399, the third mitzvah in Parshas Chukas, the third mitzvah relating to issues of Parah Aduma and Tumas Meis. Today we have a mitzvah that seems to be a detail, but the Rambam and the Chinuch count it separately, and that is, after one burns the Parah Aduma and creates the ashes, and gets ready, just in case somebody becomes Tumas Meis, so the first mitzvah is creating the ashes, the second mitzvah in the Parsha is Tumas Meis, now the third mitzvah is, so what do you do with those ashes? You sprinkle it on somebody who is Tumas Meis, and in that way they become Tahar. So that sprinkling, all the halachas related to the sprinkling onto somebody who is Tameh, is today's mitzvah. The mitzvah of Mei Nida, as it's called. There are different words, different terms that are used for the water and the ashes mixture that is sprinkled on the Tameh Meis. Sometimes it's called Mechatas, sometimes it's called Mei Efer, and sometimes it's called Mei Nida. So the Torah tells us, V'hiza ha-tahara la-tameh v'yam ha-shali v'yam ha-shvi'i, the Tahar, a Tahar person who we spoke about, somebody who is super-duper Tahar, who grew up in that area where there is a hollow underneath the ground. We make sure he is tar. He sprinkles it on the tummy on the third day, 3 and day 7. We'll talk about whether that's meduyak. What if you didn't do it on day 3? Could you do it on day 4 and day 8? We'll have to see. Ve'yam shlishi ve'yam shvi'i. V'chit'o ba'yam shvi'i. And then he becomes pure on the 7th day, and he has to go to the mikvah. V'chibes begadav v'rachas b'mayim v'tar ba'erev. And that night he's tar. Right, he's tummy for 7 days, and that night he is tar. Tummy mace, remember, does not have to bring a carbon. He's not a mechuser kippurim. He doesn't have to wait till day 8, and they bring a carbon. That's only by Zav Zav Yoledes and Mitzorah. But Tamei Meis has to wait the 7 days, and then he will be Tahar, he or she will be Tahar, and the mitzvah of the process of becoming Tahar with the Mei Nida, that is today's mitzvah, 399. Remember, the Ramban doesn't count any of these mitzvahs. All of Tumah V'Tahara, he takes out those 10 to 12 mitzvahs that the Rambam counts. This one, for sure, this is a detail of a mitzvah that it doesn't even count. But that the Rambam feels that there are two processes. There's the creating of the ashes, and then there's the using the ashes with the water that comes from an underground well, as we'll see. That is a separate stage and a separate mitzvah. So says the Sefer HaChinuch, Shenitz Tavinu B'dine Meinida. We are commanded with the halachas of Meinida. Klomar, B'dine Mehazaya. We are commanded about the waters that are sprinkled. The Hainu, what is it? Mayim Chayim. Right? We don't take mikvah water and mix it with the ashes. The halach is one has to take Mayim Chayim. Very few halachos require Mayim Chayim. Most halachas either require mikvah, like tevila usually, or sometimes for tefilas kalim, right, we could use also a mikvah, but sometimes for tefila, tefilas kalim or tefilas adam, we could use a river too, which is not mikvah, that is, we spoke about a few weeks ago, that is river water, zochalin. So, but here, one or two halachas, a zav has to become tahar in mayim chayim, natural spring water. And here too, we have to get natural spring water to mix with the ashes of the parah aduma to create the magic mixture. Dehainu mayim chayim uraven beifer parash amazim bohem alatzbeim. That's what we sprinkle. V'losha nida. What is the losha? What does nida mean? Klomer hazaya. In this context, nida means the sprinkling water. Miloshen zrika, from the language of zrika. Lamei nida means the water that you sprinkle. Kamo by yadu evan b. Good. V'distavinu b'dinim ayadu. And the pasuk tells us what we have to do. And as we mentioned 2 days ago, that a person who is involved in this becomes tamei. Kamosha kasuv mazem yanida, has to wash his clothing. Umanomar b'mitzvah zuv chukas apara plian is gava leuchala. As we mentioned, this is beyond this, which Shlomo HaMelech couldn't understand. The only mitzvah, and most Rishonim say, which element is so not understandable? This halacha of mitamei es hatahorim umitar es hatimeim. So again, the Rambam counts two separate mitzvahs. If you look in the Yireim. Rav Lazmi Metz only counts this mitzvah. He only counts Meinida. He doesn't count Parah Aduma as a separate mitzvah. That's a Hechsher mitzvah. That's a preparatory stage in order to get to Meinida, which is a mixture of the ashes and the water. So the Rambam counts two, and the Chinuch counts two, but the Yireim only counts one. Midini HaMitzvah. So let's get to some of the halachas of the mitzvah. There are a couple of steps. Step number one. Mashamr Zechonim Levracha. Shahamayim Shenosim Ala Efer. Ein Mamalan Osan Ela Bekli. First step is to get the water. Okay, you burn the ashes of the paraduma, now you have ashes ready, in the waiting. That was the other mitzvah. But now, how do we create the mixture? So first, where do we get the water from? We have to fill it up with any kind of kli, mina ma'ayanos hanovim, from any type of ma'ayan, an underground spring that is overflowing. Miloy hamayim, that is step one of the mitzvah. Umina ha'aras ha'moshchim, or from a river that flows. Unesina sa'efer al hamayim, step two is then putting the ashes on the water, which is already in the kli. Out of order is pasul. It's pasul if it put the ashes in first. It has to be mayim chayim el keli, as we all know the phrase at the end of the aliyah. First you put the mayim chayim into the kli, and then we put the ashes onto the water. That is the halacha. Putting the ashes onto the water is called, in Chazal, kiddush mechatas. That is the sanctification. V'amayim shunosim aleim ha'efer, heinikros mechatas. That is the water. Who is allowed to do this kiddush, and who is allowed to fill the water? Anyone, everyone can be fill up the water and put the ashes on, except for someone who is a lav bardas, they cannot do it. So that is even a woman, right? Anybody could fill up and put the ashes on. Has to be a bardas. What are the problems that might arise with filling the water? Just like we mentioned that a paraduma becomes pasul if it did any malacha, so too, if the person filling does any malacha while he is filling, let's say I'm on the cell phone probably. If I'm on a cell phone while I'm filling it up, that's going to pasul the ashes of the paraduma. If I'm doing anything else, these are Mefurish Mishnayis in Meseches Para. V'hamis asik b'malacha acheres, b'sha'as milui hamayim, u'baholach hasan, whether it's the filling or the walking and bringing it, paslon. I have pasled the water and the whole mixture. The Rambam and the Ravid have a discussion about this, what the reason is why it becomes possible. The Rambam seems to say it's a gzeras akasav. Gzeras akasav. If the person is involved in anything else, then it is possible. The Ravid, though, gives a svara. The Ravid says here in Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel of Hilchos Para Aduma, which we mentioned, the Rambam puts in Tahara, Zayin Gimel. The Ravid says, at root is a Hesach Hada'as problem, because you're not totally focused on what you're doing. Para Aduma, the creation, the Kiddush Mechatas, requires total focus. Nothing else in the world is going on. And a person can't do two things at one time. If I'm doing two things at one time, that means a certain percentage of my focus is on the other item, even if I'm not really focusing on it. But if I'm doing it, even 0.05%, that's good enough to pasul, says the Ravid. That is the reason. Daiti b'chol elu lo mishum malacha hu nifsal. It's not per se malacha, which is gzeras hakasav. Ela b'pnei hesach hadas shehu shorish psul hamalacha v'hu anikra al shma. V'hu anikra al shma. V'kal makam shetimsa psul al shem malacha lo title oto ela al hesach hadas. Chutz. The only other, what's not hesach hadas? If you're doing some other malacha with the water. So that's not hesach hadas. That's a problem with guf of the water. Chutz ben osa malacha b'guf hamayim. If a cow drinks from the water, right, while I'm trying to use it, that might be a problem. That's not a hesach hadas issue. That's a problem with the water itself. But a malacha done along with the miloy or the kiddush, that would be a hesach hadas problem, as we have in other areas of halacha, hilchas tefillin, and hilchas brachos. That is the issue according to the Ravid, but the Rambam doesn't mention any issue of hesach hadas. It's maybe if you could come up with a hechi timsi that there's no hesach hadas issue, it's still going to be pasul, says the Rambam. Good. The acher shenaser bema efer ein amalacha poselos behen. Once the kiddush is done, then malacha will not pasul. Kein ki banu hadavar vaschar gam kein posa bekiddush vazoya. There's another halacha. And this could even be, possibly, is this a daraisa or is this a darabanan? So the Mechas Chinuch is going to tell me that even though it looks like it's daraisa from the Gemara, it's darabanan. What is that? If a kohen gets paid to do what he's doing. Schar. If I'm Tommy Mace, and I want to make sure the kohen does this today. So I'm going to pay him for doing it. I've just ruined the entire avoda. V'aschar gamkein posel b'kiddush v'azoya. Ketzar, hanot el schar l'kadesh olahazos. Meimav, if a kohen takes schar in order to sanctify, to put the ashes onto the water, or to sprinkle, l'hazos meimav meima'arav v'efra'e k'efra makla. He posels it. Aval hanot el schar alamilo in a posel. The filling of the water is not a problem. You can take schar for filling of the water. But the kiddush and the hazoya, one is not allowed to take schar for that. The Minchas Chinuch discusses in Os Ches that this pashtus, the Gemara seems to say, if you look closely, is it din drabanan? It's an asmachta. So then the shaila is, if you use this water and then you went into the mikdash, so is one going to be chayiv kares daraisa? After all, he went into the Beis HaMikdash, betumah. But one second, the only problem is a drabanan problem. On a daraisa level, you could take schar lekadesh. So if you go in, how can we punish you? So that's the Minchas Chinas question. Add this to the list of the drabanans affecting daraisas. In Oschas, he says v'tzarachian im amar v'hiza b'mayim halalu. By the eighth line, right? If somebody violates and they use this, hech efsha lechaybo carbon al tumas mikdash v'kadoshav kivet debenatzar akasher. It can't. I would say lemaisa says the Minchas Chinas that you can't be mechayiv him anything because on a daraisa level he's tar. It's only drabanam psul. Unless you say, and this he says in the continuation on the top, that once it's puzzled, even on a drabbanan level, I am a siach das from this. And I don't have proper focus on it, and then memela hesach das is a daraisa problem. That's his suggestion, but either way, it's an important ha'ara that this whole issue of schar, unlike the previous lines in the chinuch, is only a drabbanan problem, and you have to work out how that would affect on the daraisa level. Good. We continue. V'no heges bizman abayis bizachar mimunikavis, and this applies bizman beis hamikdash when we have a paraduma. Right, we mentioned number 10 is going to come bizman yimosa mashiach. Men, males and females, shekulam shrichan hazaa. If somebody becomes tamei, they need to get sprinkled im nitbu meis kodem shikansel hamikdash or yochlo akachim. If somebody meikra din, if somebody becomes tamei meis and they have no plans of eating a carbon and they have no plans of going into the beis hamikdash, they can stay tamei. There's no chiyuv. Unless they're a Kohen that has to do the Avodah, or it get close to Pesach. Every Jew has to eat Karban Pesach. So, if somebody in that situation, you have to. But what if some on a regular day, there's no Chiyuv. But if somebody is in a situation where they should become Tahar, and they don't, Umisha Avar Alzev Alo Kibel Hazah Im Sarechla, Bitul Aseizeh. This is a Bitul Aseh. Once you don't eat the Karban Pesach, then that's a Chiyuv Kares. Once I go into the base of Migdash, Tameh, that's even worse. But either way, this is in this just the situation where the Milui and the hazoya is required, and I don't do it. I don't avail myself of the opportunity. I am being mavatel the asay. V'kasav karka safti, and he already wrote b'mitzvah kodemes that the Ramban doesn't count any of these mitzvos related to tumah and the details of tumah. Okay, so let's go back. So the step number one we mentioned is filling the water. Filling the water from Mayim Chaim into the pail. Step number two is the kiddush, putting the ashes onto the water. Step number three, then, is actually sprinkling it, these waters, onto a person who is tamei meis on day 3 and day 7. If you look in the Minchas Chinuch, he says, in Os Tes, v'achar shekidesh hamayim, hei meinida, umaz mimeno tamei meis. And the hazah is done from the kli. If you don't use a kli, it's pasul. And hazah can only be done by day. It's connected to an avoda, but that's step three. That step three is done. Who is allowed to sprinkle? The chinuch doesn't talk about that. He spoke about that anyone could do the milui, that's step one. Anybody could do the kiddush, that's step two. What about the hazah? What about sprinkling it? So in Os Yud, the Minchas Chinuch says, V'yakol k'sher mahazos v'lifal ha'ezov. Actually, I even skipped a step. We dip an ezov into, we dip a hyssop into the kli and use that for hazaya. So anybody could do the sprinkling and to be tovah the ezov. Chutz me'isha v'tumta v'androgynous, shem safik isha. But women are excluded from this based on the pasuk. And also a safik isha is excluded. The question that is asked by the Achronim on the Rambam is, he says everybody is kosher except for a woman. What about a katan? What about a katan? The Rambam sees the same beferish. A katan is kosher. The katan sheish bodas kosher. Vin bein bodas, isha misayaso shochezes lamayim. And if he doesn't have das, then a woman can help him. But the katan has to do it. In this case, a katan is better. Ask the Minchas Chinuch. Ask other Achronim. On the fourth line, v'tzarachiyun, heich machshir Rambam katan sheish bodas lahazos. The Rambam says that you need, and we paskin, that you need kavana lahazos. You need kavana lahazos. A katan can have kavana. How could a Kohen have kavana? Unless you say, which you have to say, says the Minchas Chinuch, that even though the Rambam doesn't say it, he means that there is a gadol omed al gabav. Just like we have in other areas of halacha, by writing a get, and other cases where you have a gadol that is right over him, that is instructing him and guarding him, making sure he knows what he's doing, and being mechavin in the proper way. Even though the Rambam doesn't say it, it must be that he means it. Must be that that's what he means. Aval adin vaday emes duuka chol advarim detzar kavana, that you have to have a gadol omid al gaba. For that is the Rambam's chiddush, that a katan can do it, even though he is officially a lav bar das. Good, let's continue. If you look in the end, Minchas Chinuch and Os Yud Gimel, now we talk about the days. So as we know, tzari becomes tamei, you have to get sprinkled on day 3 and day 7. So for example, let's say Monday afternoon I become tamei meis. So that's day 1. That's day 1. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So Wednesday I get sprinkled, that's day 3. And then Thursday is day 4. Friday is day 5, Shabbat is day 6, Sunday is day 7. I get sprinkled Sunday again, and then I go to the mikveh, and that night, fine, I'm tahar. Wonderful. But what happens if I became tamei meis, and like for a month, I didn't get the ashes? They didn't have it ready yet. Beheri yibana beis hamikdash, when Mashiach comes, we're all tamei meis for years. Right? So how are we going to do it? What day are we going to do it? So, obviously, just do day 1. Because that's way more than day 7. I'm sorry, that's way more than day 3. You've been waiting a lot more than 3 days. But is there a limit into how many days in between? Is that the issue? So that is a discussion right here in Os Yud Gimel. V'tzorach l'hazos b'yom ha'shlishi, haynu lo pachos mishlishi. You can't sprinkle on day 2. But there's no problem with sprinkling on day 4. Meaning the first time you get sprinkled is allowed to be more than the third day. Could go on b'yom ha'rishon or b'yom ha'sheni lo asa azaklal. You cannot be sprinkled on within 3 days, less than 3 days. Maybe one could say that the tumah of the mace is so extreme, is so potent at that time, that tahara is not shayach. Aval afilu nitvazeh shana. Even if somebody's been tummy for a year, mazino lavazari shona. You could do it the first day, the shlishi memayit sheni, revelo yoser. You could do it any day you want. You could do it more than the shlishi is not being memayit after shlishi, only before shlishi. Kind of like bris milah. It's day 8, right? You can't do it before day 8. You should try to do it on day 8, but if not, you can do it afterwards. Ubazah shnia. And what about the second hazah? That again is memayit shishi. You can't do it on the 6th day, meaning you cannot do it with 2 days in between. You do it on day 3, then you have to wait at least 3 blank days after that before you sprinkle again. The tzricha hazah shnia lios meruchekes chamisha yamim. It has to be separate by 5 days, counting both days that you sprinkle. If you do it day 3, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, so it has to be 5 days, counting both outside days. What if it has more separation in between? What if you did it on day 3 and then, I don't know, it was a busy day on day 7? You didn't get to do it on day 7. So then what do you do? Achim ha'isa hazah meruchekes yoser, v'gon shal yushisha yamim o yoser, that is a machlokes rishonim. The Rambam says that it still counts. Still counts. The Iker Kpeit is that it's not supposed to be closer than that. But the Ravid right here says, no, he says, Imhirche gazashnia yosem yichamisha yamim, doesn't count, and you gotta start over. I guess you can count the last one as the first one, and then do it again. It's gotta be exactly 5 days in between. Delo pachos, velo yosem yichamisha yamim, v'tzricha lios hazashnia, v'advarim aruchim. That's an important machlokas, Rambam Ravid, halacha lemaisa. Another important issue that comes up. In the next paragraph, V'gamdas Rabbeinu Tam, what about Tevila? How many times does the Tamei Meis have to go to the mikvah? Rabbeinu Tam says, 3 times altogether. The Rabbeinu Tam says, 1 before Achas Kodem Hayom HaShlishi Gidei L'Kabel Hazah, you got to go before you get sprinkled on day 3, before you get sprinkled on day 7, maybe even another time afterwards, but you need Tevilos each time. That is the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rambam and the Ravid both don't say this explicitly. It sounds like you just need once basof. It sounds like you just need once at the end, but not each time. So that is an important machlokas. Rav Asher Weiss, the Nechas Asher here in Simen Mem Vav, has a lumdis discussion. How do we look at what we're talking about here? There's sprinkling and there is mikveh at the end. Is the sprinkling that this mitzvah is that part of the Tahara process? Is that what's going on here? There's Hazah and there's Tevila. Usually we know Tahara is jumping in the mikvah. But counting the days of getting sprinkled, usually you don't have that. But what about in this case? Do we say it's part of the Tahara process? There's sprinkling and there's Tahara? Or do we say no? The Hazah is just a prerequisite. It's a t'nai. It's a condition that you must fulfill before you go to the mikvah. But the real tahara is only with the mikvah. So he mentioned that there are a number of nafkaminas that would be related to this. First of all, the whole discussion. Are you allowed to do a hazah on Shabbos? What if day 3 or 7 fall out on Shabbos? So is one allowed to do that? So if you look in the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos and Psachim, ta'af hazah shlishi asur b'Shabbos, mishum tikkun agavra. Even day 3, you can't do it on Shabbos. Masha'en Kain, others, the Snodabi Huda, the Tzlachim Sachim, he quotes on Daf Pei, says, no, the only Isser is Hazah of day 7, not of day 3. What's the difference? Day 7, that's already connected to the Tefillah that happened that day. So maybe one can say the Machlokas is, if this is really part of the Tahara process, you're being misaking the Gavra, it'll be also on Shabbos. But if it's just a prerequisite, why wouldn't you be able to do it on Shabbos? What are you doing? You're sprinkling some ashes? So why wouldn't you be able to do it? So that might be the Machlokas behind whether you could do it on Shabbos or not. Or, another machlokas is, Right? Do we say that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, well, the Rambam and the Ravid and Rabbeinu Tam, how many tefillas do you need? And another one, which I didn't mention, does it matter whether you do tevila before or after the hazaah? Do you have to have a tevila first? Does it help afterwards? That also might be dependent on this issue. Or the third nafkamina that he quotes is an important sheet of the Rashash. So Rashash is much discussed by the Achron, the Rashash in Chagiga and Daf Chav Gimel, where the Rashash says that if somebody becomes, in the context of Cherev Harei Hukachalo, he said if somebody becomes Tamei through Cherev Harei Hukachalo, Im Yiga Adam Becherev Bishvila Tarasa, let's say you're being Metar the Kli and you touch it on day 6, then the Rashash says the person who touches it is only Tamei for 2 days. He doesn't become Tamei and starting again. He's only Tamei for 2 days. Right? Whatever's left. So says Rav Asher Weiss, if you say that the Hazar does something, so then this makes sense, because it's less Tommy than it was at the beginning. You only have 2 days left, so that's what transfers. But if you say it's just a prerequisite, but nothing happens until day 7, so then if someone becomes Tommy from this in the middle, they should have to start again. Nothing happened yet. You have to go through the process. So this is an important issue. Lumdis, this mitzvah, our mitzvah today, mitzvah 399, is it part of the Tara process, or is it just a prerequisite of the Tara process? That is a machlokes. That's a machlokes right here. Good, just one other ha'ara on the Pidyon HaBen discussion. Rav Pinkus discusses that Rashi quotes at the beginning of our parsha that Paraduma, as we've been talking about, is the mother of the Egel. And has to be mekanecha, she has to come and clean up after the mess that the child made. So the Rav Pinkus says, interesting, some children and babies, if a baby gets dirty with dirt or food gets on his face, this and that, then anybody would help clean up the baby. But once the baby soils himself, then generally it's only the parent. Call the mother. Where's the mother? Nobody else wants to change the baby. It takes a parent, maybe a sibling, maybe even not the siblings, depends. But that's what we have by a baby. So Cesar Pinkett, it's the same thing here by Paraduma. You have to call the mother. Why? Because we were so low, nobody else wanted to deal with us. Right? We became disgusted in the eyes of all. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll deal with you. He sends a Paraduma. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll deal with you. He's like a mother. He's like a father. He takes care of us. We have to realize that even though we're tummy, even though we're so far away, Kadosh Baruch Hu says that we could come back. That's the power of Tshuva. That's for Pinkus' Ara on that Rashi, giving us a deeper insight into the Mashal. That takes us through Parshas Chukas, the three mitzvahs in Chukas. Balak has no mitzvahs. Then we get to Pinchas. Pinchas has 6 mitzvahs, including next time when we hit Be'ezus Hashem, mitzvah number 400.